The aim is I want to explain some calculations in a certain deformation of n equals 1 supersymmetric H theory. So maybe you can ask, how much background should I assume? I presume everybody knows what supersymmetric H theory is. And people will know about like something about integrable lattice models, something about the Yangian.
Some fraction.
Okay. less and less. Okay. So, well, as you know, this is the fields are some connection. It's going to work in R4 for now. And some spinners, adjoint valued spinners. I'll use this notation for the constant spinners. And the action, just the usual one. So G is some semi-simple Lie algebra. We use the killing form to define the action functional. And so on. So I'm going to be studying a certain deformation of this. We're going to add on a kind of Chern-Simons term. Here, what I mean by dz, you'd say dx1 plus idx2, if you like. So what we're doing is we're choosing a complex structure so that this is, we're identifying R4 with C cross C, and we take the coordinates and the two copies of C to be z and w. And by this is the standard Chern-Simons Lagrangian.
There's no G null here, just a pure
gauge theory of Chern-Simons. Yes. Sorry, you're absolutely right. There is a. I should have said here, there's some kind of mass terms for the fermions. Pardon? Yes, you deform the Susy transformations. Actually, only this is not invariant under the full supersymmetry algebra. So this is going to be invariant under one particular supercharge. And as you said, the action of this gets deformed. So I'm going to do some calculation of Wilson loops, say expectation values of some Wilson loops in this theory. So let me state the remain result. So
it's not a continuous deformation, it's not a
parameter. Yes, there is a parameter. So we changed to S plus lambda S prime. And
it's here.
Yeah, exactly. This parameter, if I change the coordinate on the Z plane, this parameter changes. So.
Yeah, but
It's like a super normalizable deformation. Oh, I should say, you can ask, where does this come from? I have a guess, which maybe the string theorists in the audience can confirm or deny, which is that the n equals 1 gauge theory comes from a D5 grain in type 2b on a conifold. Is that right? Is this familiar?
Yeah.
So in type 2b, you can add on two-form gauge, but this is a two-form Ramon-Ramon field with a three-form field strength. And the guess is that by adding that on, you get this deformation. A particular three-form.
Okay. Actually, there's another question here.
Uh-huh.
Usually the Chern-Simon term is kind of quantized. So how can you make the continuous deformation? Or maybe this is a...
It's in perturbation theory.
I see.
So
you don't worry about non-perturbative, just perturbatively.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And I believe the answer is perturbatively exact. There are no instantons which contribute to this.
Is this invariant under generic gauge transformations?
Pardon?
Is this invariant under any gauge transformations in that form?
No, just the connected component of the identity.
Yeah, but continuous identity. It's
yeah. Fine. Yeah, exactly. So.
Sorry, what's the gauge group?
Oh, the gauge group is just.
Any?
Yeah. Well, GG is a semi simple Lie algebra. Is G, or I think. And one other point, I mean, so everything is in perturbation theory. So actually, you know, you don't really see the difference between the group and the Lie algebra when you work in perturbation theory. But also, the fields are all complex valued. Because we're working in Euclidean signature, the spinners don't have a real form. But that's OK. I mean, that means that when we do the path integral, we do it over a contour. And because we're in perturbation theory, it doesn't matter which contour we use. So the main result is that, it's going to be that the expectation value of some Wilson operators is going to be the same thing as the partition function of an integral lattice model. Okay, so maybe before I get around to stating this precisely, I should, all of the calculations and everything are done in a twisted theory. So we're going to consider operators which are invariant under this single supercharge. And we're going to consider the expectation value of invariant operators. So considering the twisted theory allows us to compute that stuff exactly. So what Witten said a long time ago is that the twisted theory we choose, we deform the action of spin foreigner theory and then we choose an invariant supercharge Q with Q squared equals 0. Then the operators of the twisted theory or it's going to be the Q cohomology. Of the operators of the original theory. Also, and another way to say this is, i.e., we add Q to the BRST operator. So the BRST operator is some odd symmetry space of operators. And the Q cohomology of the BRST operator is the usual physical operators. Now, by adding Q, it has this effect. So the point of twisting is the following. So the twisted theory is much simpler. But it still knows something about the original theory in that we can compute the expectation values of Q closed operators by using the twisted theory. So we're going to apply that, this story, to the situation we're considering to this gauge theory. However, with n equals 1 does not admit a twist in this sense. With n equals 1, you can't change the spin 4 action because the Ohr symmetry group is not big enough. So there's no way to find a spin 4 invariant supercharged Q. N equals 1 gauge theory. So we're going to only do step 2. So we'll just choose a Q with Q squared equals 0. So the resulting theory will, of course, not be spin 4 invariant. But it'll only SU2. Okay, so we'll apply this to the deformed n equals 1 theory we consider. In this example?
Yeah.
No, almost though. So then the theory is a mixture of topological and holomorphic. So it's defined on product of two complex planes, and it's holomorphic in this plane, and the topological in this plane. But what you can show is that the twisted theory, like, for some reason, people really don't seem to write it like this, but you can. When you twist, you can a lot of the fields can be integrated out. They just satisfy an algebraic equation of motion.
So the theory effectively becomes two-dimensional, right? In this plane plus some topological thing.
Yes, it's like
so
a vert.
Does it mean that you can compute conservatives of the original plant theory that were in some sense what you are going to compute, does it have some meaning in the original theory, or it will be an observable only in this new theory?
No, it'll be an observable in the original theory, because observables in this theory are the Q cohomology of the original.
So
they're the same. They're the same. Like only, you know, there'll be some Q closed Wilson loops in the original theory I'll compute. And as you said, it behaves like a vertex algebra with values in topological field theories.
Either that replaces a two-dimensional subalgebra of the Nicol one algebra. So it is, you can look at the Nicol one theory as a two-zero theory on the same thing.
Yes.
And then you think about things like EPG and sort of kind of algebra.
That's exactly right, yes. So, like, for example, if you compactify it on an elliptic curve, it would look like something like the twisted zero theory would target some moduli bundles on an elliptic curve. What a more or less.
So is this time term, do you see it as a regulator, or is it really something that might change the physics of the theory?
I have no idea. I mean, that's a question for a physicist, I think.
But for example, the final answer is, does it depend on this lambda?
Yes.
What happens if you take lambda to zero?
The answer will go to infinity for general observables. I haven't totally pinned this down, but I believe there are some observables in the twisted theory where the expectation value will be independent of lambda. Something like I take the log of the holonomy. There are powers of that. But I was hoping I could be able to say this because this would be a computation in the original n equals 1 theory, but I haven't figured it out totally yet. Okay, so where was I going? Yeah, so is it, I mean, are we going too slow or? So, yeah, when we twist, you can, a lot of the fields satisfy algebraic equations of motion, so we can integrate out some fields. And we're just left with a connection. Actually, just give you a partial connection, which is in the quotient of omega 1 by the space spanned by dz. And the action is just this S prime term. So let's consider this theory. On again, the z plane will be a c, and then we'll turn this other direction into a c star. So we're going to consider a Wilson operator in here, which goes around, just a non-trivial homotopy. So the first result. Before I say this, I should say something. Where is the eraser?
On the show.
Oh yeah, thank you. Oh, there's everything. So the kind of abstract way to say what's going on, an analogy with something people are familiar with is the following. But this twisted theory is to the Yangian as Trin-Simons theory is to the quantum loop. Phrase in terms of an SAT question. I should explain what the Yangian is, just a little bit, although I'm sure many people are know a lot more about it than I do. So the onion, YG, is some off algebra. But you don't, if you don't know what this is, you don't need to worry about it. Which quantizes, or you know, quantum group if you like. Which quantizes the universal enveloping algebra of half of the loop algebra. So just like the ordinary quantum group quantizes just the universal enveloping algebra of G, this is some infinite-dimensional quantum group. So this was invented by Grünfeld in the 80s based on work of Fadeev and Rashtikin and people like this who use the Yangian to study integrable lattice models. So what the rest of the talk is going to be to make this kind of vague statement precise.
Is there a deformation parameter?
H-bar. We're going to work in power series in H-bar.
So this H-bar of deformation is the same as the H-bar?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Just as it happens in transonance theory, same thing happens. Okay, so let's consider the theory. And then the first kind of concrete result is the following. So that every representation of the Yangian gives a rise to a Wilson operator which is on the circle, say, Z0 cross locus for W as a particular value. So again, you should think of this in analogy to what you might be familiar to some people from Chern-Simons theory. Chern-Simons theory, for every representation of the quantum group, you have a Wilson operator. And these are what are used to define the knot invariants.
Is it literally the exponential of A?
In this specific form, exactly. But then to figure out what it was originally, you just then have to trace back the Q cohomology, which is a little calculation.
Sorry, can you repeat this question again?
I just wondering, making sure that there was what's the Wilson loop for?
Yeah, so this is part of the exponential of A?
Yes.
Along the
this is what it is in the deformed theory.
Yeah.
After integrating away the it's a bit different.
Yeah. Why is it important? So this works that you integrate away? Why not?
I'm not sure.
I mean it's not complete. I mean, so the operators here are the Q cohomology, the original operators. So you know it has some representative as a Q closed thing in the original deformed field theory, but it's not entirely clear what that is. You have to calculate it, and there will be more than one way to represent it.
I mean, my confusion is that in the original theory, the standard Wilson loop is not supersymmetric.
Yes,
and there is while in any bunch of theories you can add a scalar to make it supersymmetric, you cannot do it here.
Yes,
and that is here with the formula of the supersymmetric transformations, but we deform it by a scale, so then assembly depends on the scale. So it's still not clear to me what's being added to A in the Wilson loop in the original theory to make it feedback.
Yes. Me neither. I mean, as it's, there is more than one.
But because there is a scale, you could add a field strength, for example.
Yes, yes, exactly, yes.
You could add a field strength. You could have something like A plus lambda times the field strength with a Z bar component, something like that.
That's exactly right.
Which will drop out in this value theory.
Mm-hmm.
If we gauge in Bagram because it's a field strength.
Yes. There's more than one representative for the kutla, and one of them is just to have the field strength, a particular component of the field strength, and you take its integral, which is obviously gauge invariant and obviously Q invariant, and not so obviously becomes this. But
how much does it depend on the fact that you started with the gauge invariant, just the gauge invariant failure and not other realizations with the input one wire?
Well, yeah, so what happens, maybe this is a good point, maybe I should have said this. If you take, I haven't really thought about what happens if you include general matter, but if you consider the n equals 2 theory, I should have mentioned this. There's a paper of Kapustin where he shows that a certain twist of the n equals 2 is a mixture of topological in this way. Topological and holomorphic. So this theory also applies to that twist, and we find the following. And Poisson's twist is related to the Yangian for two copies of G. And for n equals 4, there's also a certain twist. We find the Yangian for the algebra joined two odd parameters.
It would also be interesting to see if you can add surface defects to the, because they present 0.2 if they wrap the whole CZ.
Ah, surface defects. I thought of surface defects in the other way. Huh? There's some categorical way to add surface defects at a particular z value in the whole W plane, which are, they come from categories acted on by the Yangian. What was it?
Well, I was wondering, I was just commenting, it might be interesting to, there are some, after the Wilson loops are not BPS in the original theory, there are some BPS defects. Such a surface defect, like a cosmic string, something extended on the surface.
So you want to generalize the Wilson loops?
No, add something else that can be added to this construction,
mm-hmm.
only for free surface defects, if you have the CZ,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think this was essentially for symmetry. But I don't know what happens to them after the formation.
That would be really interesting, actually. Yeah.
If you have stretch in the W plane,
I was thinking the point I can get up and cramping the whole of CZ. Then you might have some interesting things that happen if you bring this point across the loop.
Mm-hmm. Would you want to compactify the CZ somehow?
Not necessarily. I mean, they would modify this two-dimensional.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, another thing, kind of random point. I thought it would be very interesting to check, see if you can see S-duality at the level of the Yangian. But I haven't been able to figure out anything about that yet. Maybe somebody has some ideas. Okay, so we've seen that like representation of the Yangian gives a Wilson operator. So we know that in Trin-Simons theory, suppose I take a knot in Trin-Simons theory, which I label by representation, and then I double it. So I take some knot. You can tell I'm not a topologist because I can't draw knots. And then, no, I'm never going to be able to double this one anyway. So let's draw this one, V, and then I replace it by two copies of V. I can't even draw a circle. So I cable the knot, and this is the same as, this operator is the same as what I consider the original knot, but I put V tensor 2. This is a quality in Trin-Simons theory, where V tensor 2 is the tensor product of representations of the quantum group. So the same thing happens here. What would happen if I wasn't tall enough to reach those? How am I doing for time, by the way?
You've got 20 minutes.
20 minutes? Really?
For the Yangians, you obtain from n equals 2 and n equals 4 are some special cases, the ones you can obtain from n equals 1?
Yeah. It's true. I mean, it's you use n equals 1 with like the cotangent model of the group or with some superly supergroup. Some of the n equals 2 and n equals 4 case work a little better because we don't have to have this deformation, we just twist. So it's closer to the original theory. On the other hand, they work. I mean, the original Yangian is much more well studied than these guys. So
is the product lambda inside the Yangian?
There's some kind of redundancy of parameters. You can set lambda equals. Set lambda equals 1 over 2 pi, 1 over 2 pi I. And then this parameter z becomes a spectral parameter, which you see in integral models.
It's going to say things depend on lambda very far.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so in the deformed n equals 1, so the representation gives us a Wilson operator. And if I take the operator product in the W plane of, say, the Wilson operators chi v, so I'm using it, if V is a representation of the Yangian, this means the Wilson operator corresponding to it. And we get so just the same picture we had before. So we're on some cylinder. Here I put V, here I put W, and if these collide, then what I get is E tensor W. So in this way, we see that in some sense, this theory knows about the Yangian as a Hopf algebra, because the Hopf algebra structure is what allows you to take tensor products of representations.
Can you remind me, how does the representation of the Yangian look like? I mean, said it looked like a representation of G or that kind of
thing? Yeah, excellent question. So for example, if G is SLN, then there's a map, homomorphism, from the Yangian of SLN to the universe enveloping algebra. So there's a map in the other way. And the representations of SLN, the representations of the Yangian of SLN. But if G is not SLN, only some representations of G become representations of the Yang-Yang. For example, the adjoint representation doesn't become a representation of the Yang-Yang. And on the other hand, there are many more representations of the Yang-Yang because... So in this example, the representations coming from representations of SLN are the ones where Z acts by zero. But there are representations where Z, you know, where Z can act in some interesting way.
So this more general one. So this one, I guess, is the one that corresponds to the trivial Wilson loop too.
Yes.
And the other ones are?
Well, for example, you can take a Wilson loop and then take its derivatives in the Z direction.
So when you do the normal Wilson loops, you can get these derivatives?
Pardon?
When you do the multiplication of these of two standard Wilson loops, you can get less standard.
Yes. Huh. I believe so. Actually, I'm not an expert in the representation theory of the Yang-Yang, but it's certainly true that this map doesn't take tensor products to tensor products. Okay, so next, let's consider the theory. We're going to compactify. We'll make the z-plane into a P1 cross elliptic curve in the w-plane. Oh, did I ever mention what the equations of motion are? No. The equations of motion are going to be holomorphic bundles plus a holomorphic connection in the W direction. Because this is one complex dimensional, this holomorphic connection is automatically flat. So then you can see explicitly why it's a mixture of topological and holomorphic. And you can just calculate this easily from the action functional. Next, we're going to consider the theorem P1 cross elliptic curve. But we modify the behavior at infinity. So that the equations of motion become holomorphic bundles plus a holomorphic connection in the W direction. Where everything is trivialized on infinity across the elliptic curve. So another thing I never mentioned is that at the quantum level, this theory can only be defined on a surface with a trivial canonical bundle. However, here we're modifying by this divisor. So at the quantum level, it can be defined on a surface with the divisor whose square is the inverse of the canonical bundle.
At least the bundle equation is more or less the same as studying the theory of C.
It's a particular vacuum.
Right. But C on specific vacuum.
Exactly, that's what this is.
This theory is more or less this vacuum, which is given by the black dimensions on graph on EW.
Exactly, yes. And when we compactify, it's a twisted 0-2 model, but we're targeted as a syntactic manifold of G local systems. Yeah, the 0-2 model can be defined. It's normally defined as some kind of cotangent model, but can be defined more generally on a syntactic manifold.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put some Wilson operators on A and B cycles of the elliptic curve. And at various points in this plane. Then we'll compute the expectation value. So we'll use this notation for the Wilson operator. Okay. So we have the following theorem. We said lambda equals 1 over 2 pi I. The vacuum expectation value . So here we have n parallel A cycles, like that. And then 0, S1, B1. And n parallel B cycles. Z is at 0. This vacuum expectation value is equal to the partition function of an integrable lattice model. On an n by m doubly periodic lattice.
Sorry, can you remind us what the parameter s is?
S, that means the circle. S1 means the circle.
Okay. Oh, sorry, S1. Oh, different circles.
Different circles, so parallel A cycles, parallel B cycles. What was it?
And the A and B.
Oh, sorry. So yeah. So we have a torus.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Exactly. These are the A cycles and the B cycles are like that.
So all A cycles at some point Z, no B cycles on different.
Yeah.
One zero.
Yes, exactly. Maybe of course. There'll be some singularity in the operator product when they can coincide. And so what's the integrable lattice model? So the model will depend on the group you choose and the representation. For the simplest case, if G is SL2, and V is just the standard 1-0 rep, then we get the Heisenberg XXS model. How am I doing for time?
Yeah. 10 minutes. minutes, but you can run over if you want.
It's not a
That's why it's a tensor part of this.
Exactly, yes. It's just a map of algebras. So to make an analogy with the quantum group, with the transitive theory of the quantum group, if you remember, I mean, this is how Jones discovered the Jones polynomial. He was thinking about integrable lattice models, and he saw that they could be generalized to knots in the three-sphere. So some of this theory is the generalization of Chern-Simons theory, which knows about lattice models which have a spectral parameter. So. So I'll say a quick word about what these models are. So the model, so we choose a basis of V. Then a state is a way of labeling every link, sorry, edge, what's the under term, of the lattice by a basis element. And then at a vertex, there's an interaction which is the matrix elements of a certain matrix, so where this guy is called comes from the OR matrix of the Yangian. So in general, I mean, this model is integrable in the formal sense in that it has a complete basis of commuting Hamiltonians. However, something very strange about this is that there is no known formula for this. So,
for the R
matrix. What was it?
For the R matrix.
Yes.
The universal.
Universal R matrix.
So, but it's known.
It's known in simple representations, but it's not known in every representation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's known. It's, for example, in the. I mean, what was it?
The rectangular boxes. If you don't know the rectangular box.
I don't know. We would.
What?
You seem to know which representations is it known in.
Well, I mean the Russian school, right? This is how the construct is doing this integral
model. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know the one, for instance, that descends from the tensor product of the simple moment.
I mean, that you can see from the behavior of OR matrix under tensor products. But it's not known in every representation, because then you would know it in you know the universal one as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one which are, I don't know the technical term, the one which are rational, where the power is, right, rational.
Yeah. This is the rational case.
Yeah.
But okay, so it seems to be known in a pretty wide class of representations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe everyone which comes from the representation of SLN.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is some simple. I mean, in the simplest case, if G is SL2, and V is the fundamental representation, then OR is just 1 plus 1 over z, it's new to h-bar. H-bar over z times e tensor f plus f tensor e plus half h tensor h. Well, this is the standard basis for SLT. So I have this or z as well, and universal. Well, because this is a representation of the Yangian, there's a map. V tensor V is a representation of YD tensor YG. So there's a map from here to here given by the action. So we just take the image. So I don't have time to explain why the Yangian comes in, which is another key point. But this is kind of the point where you need some homotopical algebra. But what I can explain is, from this picture, why we have an integral model. So we can see this by thinking about the Hilbert space. Let's take the Hilbert space on P1 across a circle, but in the presence of Wilson operators. Of n Wilson operators. Which have boundary at m points in 0 cross S1. So this S1 is the B cycle. So we have 0 cross the circle, and I have m points. And the Hilbert space is just V tensor M, which is the Hilbert space of the model, of the integrable lattice model. Okay, so next. We can compute so a Wilson operator along the circle will give us an operator on the Hilbert space. So consider the cylinder 01. Let's put a Wilson operator chi v z on z cross the whole circle cross a half. So we're still in the presence of these other vertical Wilson operators. Let's draw a picture. So at 0, we have the following. Some number of vertical Wilson operators. That's really badly. And at z, we have a single horizontal Wilson operator. So this will give us a map from the Hilbert space to itself. And this map is the transfer matrix. of the lattice model. Yes. With the Z and the...
Or just ZW claim or Z versus zero, like whichever you feel
is
more easier to explain.
So the Wilson operators all live on the W plane, but they all live at a fixed value of Z. So we're going to consider some Wilson operators at zero and some Wilson operators at zero in the Z plane, some Wilson operators at some other point. Exactly. And this will be the same two points as we see here.
It may be useful, like, as usually people do, to draw the grid that represents these constant operators and straight lines and circle by a circle.
And
that's how people usually represent.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
It's really a big fat picture.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
here
a picture, like,
it's literally true here, right? Yeah. Yeah, I have trouble drawing in four dimensions.
No, yeah,
you should. Okay, so. And then we have. God, I'm really terrible at this. I'm supposed to be a mathematician, you know. I'm sure you could draw it much better. But here, so this.
Left brain and right brain, algebra and geometry.
Yes. So this circle lives at the point Z in the Z plane, and these vertical lines are for the point zero. Okay, so the model is integrable. So integrability is the statement that the transfer matrix commutes. So that's what's nice about this is it's totally obvious because it's a topological theory. If I take TZ prime, I product these Wilson operators. So this is at Z. I do first one, and then I do the other. On the other hand, if I switch the order, that just amounts to sliding this circle down, this circle up, which is the same because it's topological. What was that? What was that, sorry?
What if you slide
it
to z equals 0?
That z equals 0.
But if you take that prime equals 0 somehow, and does that have all the things with all of the same thing, or suddenly there's something?
Yeah, the issue with that is that you can't, if any two Wilson operators collide, there'll be singularities in the operator product. So we can't, we have these vertical guys at 0, so we can't let things hit that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here, yeah, we see commutativity. So actually, this formal argument just tells you anytime you have a theory which is topological in one direction, holomorphic in the other, and you have a Wilson operator, then you have an integrable lattice model.
Should we interpret the matrix that states that somehow the PE of these conserved scientifics?
Yes, the Orr matrix, so that's exactly what it is.
There's a finite set of operators that you can find at the intersection point.
Yeah. So if we decided not to cut into codimension 1, but cut into codimension 2, and think about categories, then you would see exactly, we look at this kind of picture.
But that's the drawing you draw. That's what,
pardon?
That's exactly this opposition of constant matrix. It's a product of crossing.
Yes, exactly, you're right. Then this is, you know, we take this picture, we cut it up into finer pieces, and you see that the Orr matrix is the operator product between two Wilson operators, and the transfer matrix is what you get by cutting this up. Which also proves that in this picture, even without knowing about integrable lattice models, this Hamiltonian is local. I mean, it could be produced by cutting up.
No. What were you saying? Why the T thing equals the sky thing? I mean, what were you like? How do you put these two pictures compared to the algebraic relations?
I see. So you're asking, how do I prove that T is equal to chi?
I guess you were saying first, I guess I'm not sure how this perspective change is really elaborate, that would be cool too. But, you know, it sounds like from what you're saying that this change of perspective topologically leads to some change in, like, the change of view algebraically, maybe, or maybe you didn't say that.
I'm not sure. I mean, I suppose what I'm saying is that, I mean, commutativity of the transfer matrix is clear in this picture. That was the point of this, but
they live in different places, so
yeah. But but you can ask how. I mean, if you ask how do I prove that this T is really the operator compared to the Wilson operator, and then you do what Davide suggested. You think about the operator product in the z direction, and there's some you look at the properties it must satisfy. And there's an abstract theorem of Grünfeld that there's only one OR matrix satisfying some equations. So you check the operator product in the z direction gives you an OR matrix satisfying Grünfeld's property whenever. OK, so I'll stop there.